If you have your Bible with you tonight, we're going to still be in Matthew chapter 6 as we talk about these list of three things of when you do them, and that Jesus really just using the Pharisees here as a punching bag of how not to do them. It would almost be, you know, they are the hypocrites that do it this way, but Jesus is telling you this is the true way. This is how you really need to do that. Tonight we're going to be In chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, we're going to be talking about a practice that I believe is not taught as much as it should be, and it's not practiced as much as it should be, and that is the act of fasting. If you have your Bibles, we're going to start reading there in the 16th verse. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, and their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let's pray. Father, again, we just thank you to come to your house to worship you, Father. And we just pray now that you push out all distractions that we might have in our mind as we study your word. And we just thank you for the guidelines that you are giving us here, that you've given us throughout your whole book. And we just thank you for those. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. As we can see, once again, Jesus is using those Pharisees as an example of how not to do something. That is what he's saying. Don't do it this way. Do not be like them. Do not be like that hypocrite who, of course, as we've seen, that the Greek word for that hypocrite was that actor who would wear the mask, who would go around parading, acting like somebody else, who they truly were not. And that's what he's telling you here to avoid, is do not do it like this. They've once again taken a spiritual practice that is deep in their belief. It's something that was talked about in Leviticus that they have taken. They've perverted it. They've taken pagan ways and they've done it, and they want to make it sure that only man could see what they were doing. That was their primary focus, was that man would see what they were doing. They made it all about themselves, just the same way that they did with the giving, as in with the praying. They wanted to make sure that men got them. That was what they wanted their reward to be. They wanted man to say, yes, that's a holy man. Look at the way he's doing it. But as we learn from Jesus, that's exactly opposite of the way we should be doing it. Fasting is viewed by many people, viewed differently by many different people. The ancient religions, some of them would say that is the way that demons entered your body. They would, so if they felt they were being attacked by a demon, if they felt that the demons were coming, they would simply just fast. And they would not eat, and that was their way of avoiding any kind of evil spirits or demons or anything that entered their body, and that's what they would do. The Eastern religions, of course, they practice it. You'll see it a lot of the monks and the Buddhists and stuff, the Hindus. They will practice it as an art of trying to get some mystical knowledge, some insight to how the universe works, and that's what they do it for. And they will do it for long periods of time, thinking that if they give up that food, if they give up this, then they will be privileged to how the universe works and what's man's real purpose here. But that's not completely the way God wants it to, and that's not the purpose of fasting. And then, of course, we have the modern form of fasting, or the Western form, and it is purely cosmetic. People will fast and they will not eat just for the simple fact so they can lose weight. They will say, well, I'm fasting. It says you're supposed to fast in the Bible. I'm just going to benefit from it and lose weight as well. There's nowhere that you can find, New Testament, Old Testament, whatsoever, that can back that view of fasting up. That is completely wrong. If you're fasting for anything towards you, you're doing it completely wrong. Fasting is something that is done for a spiritual purpose and a spiritual purpose only. It's not for you. It's not for you to lose weight, for you to try to gain some mystical knowledge of how the universe works. It's got its purpose, and we'll talk about it here. During the Old Testament times, the practice of fasting was done, but it was commanded in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, by God that they were to do it on the Day of Atonement. The way it reads is they were to humble themselves before God. And the way the word the humble was used was it was meant that they would fast as part of humbling themselves. During that Day of Atonement, whether it be the man, the woman, the child, whoever, they would fast. They would not partake of the food. And it's the food, not the drink and the water. They were able to drink water, but it's the food that they were to stay away from it as they got ready for that Day of Atonement, to where their sins would be forgiven. And that was the command that came from the Old Testament to fast. So here in Jesus' day, that's the command they still would have had. But the Pharisees have taken that fasting and made it something completely different. Of course, but the fasting is not like the prayer and the giving. If you notice that the prayer and the giving, it starts off from the very start as when you give, when you pray, and when you fast, you know, but here it is not necessarily a command to fast as it is the giving and the praying. While it is spoken favorably of and something that Jesus believed that you need to practice in, it's not that command. And he does not command that. The New Testament does not command it the same way that the Old Testament does. And we'll look at why that's not a command in the New Testament anymore. But it is spoken favorably of over 30 times in the New Testament. So it was good enough for them. It's good enough for us. They did it during times of trouble. And that's the way we're going to look at it here in a few minutes. But the first thing that, as we talked about, you can take verse 1 and put it right before verse 16 is, beware of practicing these your righteousness before other people. You know, you have that warning there that God wants you before each of these little, the giving, the praying, and the fasting is, beware as you get ready to do these. Do not practice it the way that the Pharisees do. Do not practice it like the hypocrites do. But do it for the right reasons. And then he moves on into to when you fast. So what we can see here is that we got exaggerating fasting done by the Pharisees and the people of the day. Like I said, now it's when you fast, but it's not necessarily the same command. The word is a little bit different. It could be more as whenever you do fast. When you do it, if you do it this way. Don't do it this way. And that's how the verse can start off in there in verse 16. The Greek word for fast here is, it literally means do not eat. Do not partake of any food during that period of time, whether it be a couple hours, whether it be a whole day, whether it be a week, whatever it is that you decide, that means do not partake of the food of any during that time that you decided to fast. It does not mean that you can not drink water, but it does mean that you need to stay away from that food that they can usually be a distraction. That's your form, that's your fasting, that's the way you're showing God that you're coming before him. That's what you need to give up, because that's what you're saying you're giving up. You're not just saying, I'll give it up, you know, while I'm in the prayer mode and eat here and then go back into it. No, during that whole time of commitment of fasting, you need to be committed and to give up the food, but not do it the way that the Pharisees did it. During Jesus' day, the Jewish people would have two different views of the practice of fasting. They were one, of course, the ones that were obvious. They made it obvious that they were fasting. They would go in and they would find that old coat that day, they would make sure they maybe didn't take a bath that day. If they were in modern times, they would make sure they looked miserable. They wanted to be seen miserable. They wanted to know that people, hey, that I gave something up. And the fasting, that's what they did. They would dirty themselves. It's kind of like that Easter, that man we talked about a few weeks ago. He sat on a city block in an Eastern country every week, and he just sat there, and he made himself look miserable. And as people would come up and say, let me take a picture from you because you've got to be holy, you know, for your religion, because look how you look. And he would say, well, wait 1 minute and let me adjust it so that I look more miserable, and then you can take your picture. Well, that's the same thing that they're doing here, is that they're getting those old clothes. They're getting their hair all messed up. They're throwing ashes on their face. They want to look miserable. And that is the exaggerating fasting that they are doing that Jesus is telling us to look out, do not take part in. And that is what he wants us to watch out. And the second one is that they would do it because they believed that they would have to give an account to God of all the good things they didn't eat. And they wanted to make sure that they had, you know, hey, you know, I was supposed to eat this, but I didn't. And that's the account they would give for God. So they wanted to make sure that when they did give that account before God, that they were seen favorably to him. But that first group, as we primarily look at, as the Pharisees, they were the ones that did it all for themselves. It was all about being prideful. They wanted to make sure that you saw them no matter what they were doing. Luke 18, verse 12 tells us that the Pharisees says, as he's talking about the Pharisees and the tax collector, well, he does this, but I fast twice a week. I give my tithe when I need to. I do this, as the Pharisee is trying to make it where he sounds better, unlike what Jesus is saying. He's just like the tax collector. He's trying to say, but I fast. I obey the commands. The reason that they would fast twice a week is they picked 2 days, because it was the 2 days that Moses went up and got the law of God out of Mount Sinai. So they were saying, that's what he did twice during that week, so that's what we're going to do, is we're going to fast twice during this week. There's nothing wrong with that. However, the days they picked just happened to be the days where the markets would be the fullest. Those were the days when the farmers, the merchants, the shoppers, people would come in. That was grocery day. You know, that was the first of the month when everybody got paid. They were there to shop and they wanted to buy it. That's what they did. They picked those days to be the days that they went and fasted because they wanted to make sure that they were seen. You know, they picked maybe the Monday and Thursday when people were there. Why not pick the Tuesday and Wednesday when nobody was there? Why not do it then? But they wanted to be seen by everybody. They wanted people to know, look at that Pharisee there. He is obeying. Look how miserable he looks. Look how dirty he is. He's got to be fasting. He's got to be doing what God wants him to do. That's a holy man, and that's who I need to be like. Well, that was their sole purpose. That was their goal. That was their goal, and that's what they did. And that's why they picked these two dates, so that they could have the biggest audience. If nobody was there to see them, it was something they really wasn't caring doing. Just like with the praying, they made sure that they prayed loud, long, repeated words when people could hear, but when they were in their secret and quiet place, they barely prayed. But they wanted to make sure that they had the audience, and that was their whole purpose, their whole guide, or their whole goal. And they received their reward, just like Jesus tells us that, because they want to be seen by man, they will receive the reward by man. And that's not the reward that we want to seek out. That's not what we want to do. Our reward's not what man gives us, but what God gives us. And these are the guidelines that he's given here. Do not do it like this. Do not make sure that you're disfigured, that your faces are nasty, that you look miserable, so that people will know. But then as he goes into verse 16 or 17, we can see the legitimately way to fast is that, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Dressed in your Sunday best, as they used to say. Make sure you're clean. Make sure your hair's done. Don't look miserable at all where nobody will know as to what you're doing. But God will know, and that's the whole purpose. And that's what he's telling them here is when you do it this way. As to not be like the Pharisees, to be like the hypocrites, to go out and do it only for man, but do it this way so that somebody's walking by you, they will not know whether you just ate a full course meal or you are fasting. Make sure you're clean. Make sure everything looks good on you, because then you're doing it because you want to make sure that you're doing it for God and you're not doing it on those 2 days a week when the markets were the fullest and people would see you. As we said earlier, fasting is mentioned over 30 times in the New Testament and is always spoken favorably of, just about all the times. And so it is something that God wants you to do. As we look not just here in the Gospels, but throughout the different people as they fasted, we'll look at different reasons why they did and when they did it. But then you do have the word again, but when you fast. Though it is not a command in the sense of prayer and giving, it is something that Jesus expects you to do. God expects you to do it. It's not that command. Then you say, well, why is it commanded in the Old Testament, not commanded here in the New Testament? Well, in the Old Testament, they did it on the Day of Atonement, the day when their sins were forgiven, when everything was done like that. But here in the New Testament, once Jesus died and was buried and raised again, the Day of Atonement is void. That day means nothing for us anymore because we don't have to once a year go and make sure that our sins are forgiven. Once we do it once, we're good for the rest of our lives. And so that's why it's not a command here. It's not that you have to that one day a year prepare yourself, humble yourself before God. But as throughout the whole year, as you are feeling that, you know, maybe you did mess up, maybe you do need forgiveness, then you can take it during that time. That is when you should fast, not just that particular one day a year when the sins are forgiven. Because of what he did on the cross, your sins are already forgiven if you're willing to accept him. And that's why it is commanded there in the Old Testament, but not commanded here in the New Testament. It's something he wants you to do because you want to do it. It's a couple of the reasons that in the Old Testament and in sometimes in the New Testament, you'll see that people fast. It's during a mourning period. People, you know, life, that's when, if you have ever been in mourning, you'll know that usually you're not up to eating. You don't feel like eating. You know, your mind's in other places. You're missing a loved one, or you're sad that this happened, so you're in that state of mourning. You know, when David lost his first son, he fasted. When he fasted for his enemies because of what was about to happen. And many times when there are in the morning, they didn't want to eat. So if you don't want to eat, you know, that's a perfect time as you're in mourning. You can take your, you know, take your worries, take your cares to the Lord and say, you know what, just go spend that quiet time. Maybe normal time you would eat dinner. If you're not, you know, go spend that in that quiet place and just be with God and just cast your burdens upon Him, cast your worries, cast your fears. And another times would be at repentance. While it's not necessary to be forgiven, but just like when David, you know, slept with Bathsheba and then he sent the husband out to be killed. After that, David fasted because he wanted to get ready. He wanted to make sure that as he was getting ready to beg the Lord for forgiveness, he humbled himself before God. He fasted. He made sure that he was in the right state of mind, in the right state of his heart was right, and that he got ready, and that was part of his, was that he fasted. And it's a good thing. I think that's a good thing for us as we get ready. When we mess up, and we do mess up, that as we go before the Lord, maybe as the fasting is a way of our humbling ourselves, making sure that we're sitting there and we're listening to and we want to be right there in tune with God as we beg Him for forgiveness. And then we pray for His strength and to not necessarily go down that same road. And that's why they did it. That's why, just think of the people of Nineveh. When Jonah came and said, you know, your city's about to be destroyed if you don't repent and turn away now. And what did the king do? He issued a decree and said that from the king all the way down to the lowest of the lowest people, you will do a fast. Because we are getting ready, we need to repent, we need to make sure that we are right with God, and that is the way that that's the perfect way he saw it, that we fast, we gave it up, we started to humble ourselves before God so that we can truly repent and be sorry for what we did. So when should we fast? If you want to, during mornings or during repentance, but there's a few other times that I believe that you should fast. First of all, of course, it is up to you when you do it. There is no guideline. There is no set time that you, like the Old Testament Jews would have had to do on the Day of Atonement. That time is not set for you. It's whenever you feel that God is calling you to fast. A big one for me is when I'm about to start a big task or a big mission. You look at Jesus prior to his mission, prior to when he began his ministry, what did he do? He went and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I don't plan on doing it that long. But as I get ready before, I can take my example from him as he prepared his ministry, as I prepare my task, my mission, you know, maybe the mission trip you're about to go on or maybe one you're going to take in the future, you can look at it as taking that fasting time as a way of humbling yourself before God and just taking those times and maybe when you would eat, just to going in and being in a lock, you know, a small room, a closet, and just being with God. And you can take those. And, Jesus was out in the wilderness. He was alone. He didn't go fasting where everybody would know. He didn't go out and hang out with people. He did it all alone. And, of course, when Paul and Barnabas were being sent out by the church at Antioch, the church fasted for them. I believe it's something that not necessarily maybe that you're not going on a mission, but especially maybe as we, in the next 2 weeks, we're sending probably 30-plus, maybe, missionaries. Some to Kentucky, some to Haiti. You know, the church fasted for Paul and Barnabas as they got ready for their mission trip. I don't see nothing wrong with you taking a day during this week, maybe for the Haiti trip or whatever, and say, you know, I'm going to fast so that I can pray for the safety and I can be right there and just to lift up our mission team. The church did it for them, and I think there's no difference in Paul and Barnabas going out and then 30 or so that we have going out over the next 2 weeks. That we need to make sure that we pray for them, and a good way of doing that is as we humble ourselves and we fast before God and we're saying, God, we're coming here for this purpose. We want you to know that as we take this time, as we're alone, as nobody maybe even knows, but I'm giving this up, this food up during this time because I want to make sure that I spend that time in prayer for the ones that are about to go out. And that is a big part, but when you do fast, I said prayer needs to be a big part of it. It's not just let me give up my food and go on about my day. But as your day or your week or however long it is you decide to fast, as it goes on, prayer needs to be involved in it. Prayer needs to be involved in every aspect of everything you do. But it needs to be based on biblical principles. It's none of this, well, I'm going to pray so that people can see me. I'm going to fast so people can see me. I'm going to fast so that I can lose weight or that I might get some mystical knowledge. No, those are not biblical principles. The biblical principle of fasting is so that you may go before God and humble yourself. And that's what you need to do, and that's why you need to make sure that you're doing it with those and not something that God will look on and say, you're no different than the Pharisees 2,000 years ago. You're being just like they are. You're doing it so that man can see you. And that is your reward. But once again, we see that if you do it with the right attitude, the right heart, and that maybe that Christ is the only one that you care as far as your audience, Him and God, you want them to know you're doing it, and you want them to know the reason, just as as He said in the giving and in the praying, you will receive your reward in secret. Once again, I believe that it's key that He does not say what your reward will be. Your reward will come from the Father, and one day you will know. It might be when you get to heaven, you might know. You know, you might take that time of fasting right now and pray, and that God is already setting up for some kid, some child, some man, some woman to hear the gospel. And it's because of that, maybe that prayer time that you did, that you setting that up, you taking that time before they go on the mission trip to humble yourself before God, to cast your fears, as Mr. Mack prayed, it's our fears. And when you leave this country, even in our country, but when you leave this country as a missionary, it is a dangerous thing. You're going to countries that were any country where warlords or anything, that is a dangerous thing. It is that as we fast, we're casting our fears. We're giving Him our fears. We're giving Him our burdens so that we not necessarily worry about it where it bothers us, but we give them to Him and say, you know what, it's in your hands, God. You already know what's going to happen. But as we pray for those, we also pray that He opens the hearts of those that need to be heard. And fasting is a way, I believe, that you can humble yourself before God as you're right there with Him, just you and Him, as you pray and you say, Lord, take this from me. Take this burden. Make this safe as they go to this third world, as they go to Haiti, as they go to Kentucky. Keep them safe, but open those doors. Let those that wouldn't otherwise never know the gospel, let them know now because of our missionaries that we sent out. You can say, well, maybe I have fasted, but I never felt that God talked to me during it. Well, maybe that's the time you need to take and make sure that you're right with God prior to doing it, whether it be at the point of, you know, maybe you've never come to a point of accepting Him, but also I think it's you need to make sure that you're right before Him and right before others before you begin any act for Him, so that you know that you go into it with that clean slate. You're there and you're here, and God can give you the guidance, because that's all fasting is. It's staying away from food, but as you do it, as you cast those burdens, those trials, those, hey, I'm going on this task, you're really just getting guidance from God. And He gave your guidance right here as the way to do it and the way not to do it. It's up to you if you decide whether you want to be like the Pharisee and make it known to where you do it and get your reward by man, or if you're the one that does it in the secret and knows that only God knows and that your reward comes from Him. That comes down solely onto you. Let me ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads with me for a minute. As we talked about the fasting, as we talked about the prayer over the past couple weeks, I think that during this week and the next couple weeks, you really need to make sure that you pray for our 30-plus or around 30 missionaries that are going out. And that's what they are. They might not be have that official title from some convention or whatever, but they are missionaries. And we're sending them out. They're going to represent Christ. They're going to represent us. And we want them to be safe. We want them to reach as many as people as possible. We want that small spark that starts from just them telling one or two people about Christ that engulfs that nation, engulfs the state of Kentucky, to where people look at Haiti and look at Kentucky and say, that is a state, that is a country that is on fire for God. It don't take much to start a wildfire. It's just a spark. As we pray this week and the next week for our two mission trips, I believe that needs to be in it. Maybe it comes to a point where you do need to make sure that you fast as you want to fast. You want to make sure that you're humble before God and give Him those cares. Make sure, you know, but make sure that as you do it, you are doing it for the right reasons. You're not doing it for man to see you, but you are doing it so that God will know and you can give your true cares, your burdens on Him. And He can take them away from me, and He'll give you those guys. He'll give you that insight as to what He wants you to do when you humble yourself before Him and just go before Him in prayer. Because as we said a couple weeks ago, He's your Father, and just like a Father here on earth, He wants to talk to you. He wants to communicate with you. But you have to start it. Just go to Him. He's going to hear it, and you might not get the answer you want, but He will answer it in the way that's best. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your word, the guidelines that You give us in Your book, and the way that that we follow them to the way you said it, so that we not will not be seen as a hypocrite, but as one that follows your laws and follows your commands, and one that is holy before you, that our reward be only what you give us, and that should be enough to satisfy us all. We just thank you now, and as we do say a special prayer for our missionaries that are going out, we pray for your protection over them, and we also pray that you open the doors so that these people in the state of Kentucky and in the country of Haiti hear your word, and that state and that country becomes a state that is on fire, a place that is on fire for you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.